It'd be good if you'd pray for me. I appreciate the Lord's goodness to us tonight. And I'm very thankful that He's on His throne and that He's in control of His universe. Think a little bit tonight about you young people. I don't want it to be exclusive to the young people, but I have a burden that way tonight towards the young people. You're growing up in a fast-changing world, and there's going to be a lot of difficulties that's going to be inherent to that world. God's up to that challenge. You can be as successful in your generation as anyone has ever been, no matter what the situations are, if you'll do what's always been required. It isn't about how good we are or strong in our generation. It's about how much we yield to God and allow Him to do in us, in any generation. So you'll have to do the same thing that every generation's had to do to have success in God. The Apostle Paul was a mighty man in God in his generation. The secret to his power was that he yielded himself to the God that was able to do the things for him. He counted everything that he had accomplished in life as dung. It's nothing to me. He sacrificed everything that he might win Christ. And through that yielding to Christ, then God becomes strong in him to do whatever God willed to do with a life. He was able to do with Paul's life because he gave it to him. Very familiar scripture in Ecclesiastes. The 12 and 1, most everybody probably knows this scripture. It's mentioned a lot. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." It seems to me like there's an obvious truth in this, that the decisions that you make today will have something to do with tomorrow. It's obviously stated in here that young people, now is the time to set the course of your life. I say with everybody in here tonight, that's true. But this is particularly talking about what will be changed later in life. Because things do change later in life. And now is a good time to set the course and the decisions for your life about what that's going to be. And a lot of times we need this, because a lot of times we're not in the if it's not reality for the moment, it doesn't mean much. Something forecasted out. I mean, why would anyone start smoking cigarettes with the information that's out there about the dangers of them? Why would anyone really? I know there's one out of a thousand that it doesn't affect, but we know that it affects people. Why would anyone start smoking knowing that it could shorten their life and the quality of their life? Why would anybody do it? Drug use is rampant in our world today. But it's only because it's a moment thing. Because the end of it is tragic, always tragic, well then I would say, why would anyone make such a decision as that? Well, it's because it's easy to make a decision on the moment with only the results of the moment. Only thing I get to go out on a Friday night and get high and enjoy myself for a little while. Not realizing that if this gets in me more than this, I am going to destroy my life, my home, my family. I'm going to destroy my reputation, the honor that I can have, the ability for somebody to trust me. I'm going to ruin it all. Well, now, who would make such a decision? But the information isn't always just at hand, or we don't realize it, so it's easy to make a decision for the moment. But young people, that's exactly what the Scripture is saying. It's saying, remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, remember there is an eternity. Remember there is going to be life to live. Remember, there's valuable things. There's a future. Remember your Creator today. Now, the world is going to offer you the moment. Really, really, it can't offer you anything. It'll offer you the pleasures of sin for a season. It will offer you the moment. And they will say things, and I marvel at it in my more mature life. I would have to say I was probably, like a lot of people, some of these statements bothered me in my early Christianity. But it hardly bothers me now. I've lived too much life and seen too many things to allow the statements of the world to bother me any. And when someone looks at my family or looks at us and makes a statement to me like that's, you don't have to live that way, or that's old-fashioned way of living, all that. I have lived too much life to know the end of that person. Right. I marvel at the ones that come against many times because the statements are so foolish. I've lived enough life to know that living for the Lord has paid great dividends in my life. I still have my wife with me. I still have integrity. I still have honesty with me. People can trust me because God has worked in my life. Now, I have something that the Lord can now look at these things, and you'll be challenged, young people, by these very things about how good your life can be with all these other things. It's a lie of the devil. Remember your Creator today. Because when it all goes and that one is telling you, oh, a little drink won't hurt you, you can have fun, or smoking, or whatever the world's trying to offer, I've seen the end of that person. It ain't good. And tonight you can know this too. If you will remember your Creator in the days of your youth, that person is most likely to come back to you someday. I've had it happen over and over and over again, where the one that would come against me ends up being the one that will say, Marty, will you pray for me? My wife's leaving me. Or my family's busted, my son's gone, or those kind of things. My health is now gone. Will you pray for me? Oh, there's no I told you so's in this. But the heartache of it is still that I still know where it came from. Remember your Creator. Now, because the choices now are so valuable, you can do things now with the decisions of your life that will alter the whole course of your life. For good or for bad. It'll alter the whole course, and it's a very serious time to remember your Creator. So tonight, for all of us, but especially for you young people that's here, I want to challenge you with God's call for you tonight. God's calling you tonight. God wants you in all your potential tonight. God needs you in His kingdom tonight. He sees your great potential. You can make a great difference for eternity, not only for yourself, but if God goes on and blesses you for your family, for generations, if God tarries, you can make a difference in your family, your friends, your community. You can be an instrument of the Most High. God is calling every one of them because He wants a faithful person in that school, in that college classroom, at that job, in that travel, in that place. God wants a faithful person that He can use as an instrument anywhere to call on. And you look at sometimes the older people kind of get broken down. And you look at us, it isn't very fascinating. You say, well, he ain't got much else to do. That ain't true, but it can look that way. But when we look at youth, and you say they could be doing anything tonight, but they're doing something right. That person is smart. They have the life ahead of them. They could be anything they want to be. And they give it to God. Must be something in this God thing. To them there is. Because they have given something for that. Yeah, you could be something, but you give it to God. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. In the 144th Psalm, I'll go back to the 9th verse. It says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Some say that this is talking about the something as an expression like the sands of the seashore. A multitude. Plants are everywhere. Don't seem to fit, though. I think it's more likely like this. That they grow up like a plant. A plant in the Scriptures isn't just any plant that we classify in the plant life. It's something that's cultivated. It has purpose. There is all kinds of plants out there, but this didn't say that they grow up like a weed. My dad used to say you're growing like a weed, but that's a different point. Or they're growing like thorns or briars. Because even though they're hardy and grow well and are evasive, they're also hurtful and useless to most human endeavor. But this says that they might grow up as a plant, something that has purpose to it. Young men, have a purpose. Don't flounder. Is what it's talking about. That our young men have purpose. That they grow up with a purpose of life. That there's some reason for being here. A greater purpose and reason. That they be noble. That they're planted and they grow up, which means that they aren't feeble anymore. That our sons would be not sissy-ish. The world's trying to make sissies out of you. Oh, they might want you to have big muscles and not giving you much spiritual identity here. But this is talking about that they grow up and be strong and sturdy and worth something.
so that they can make a useful mark on society, on the family. That they can be something, that they bear fruit to something. That they have something. You remember David? David grew up like a plant in his youth. He didn't have to get old to understand these. Lord help us. I'm glad to learn anything at my age. But I don't think you ought to have to be in the gospel for 50 years to learn how to forgive somebody. I mean, there's some things that ought to come quicker than that. By that time, you should be in the strong meat category, learning depths of the Lord and how to deal with things. David was a young man, had got his lessons. He'd become sturdy, strong, dependable. The nation needed him. But he was a ruddy youth, but yet he was a plant. Young men, God needs a plant like that. When the battle comes, that there's young men. Sometimes old men get sleeping, falls asleep at the rest. It's just true. It's harder now than it used to be. But young men are strong and capable yet. Give that to the Lord. And then when the battle comes, there's somebody that can swing the sword. And there was little David. Nobody thought much of him. But he was a plant that had grown up in his youth. And he had courage. And he had faith. And he had a confidence in God because God had taught him that and he had grown up. There's a scripture that says, "Watch ye and quit ye like men." Well, how does a man quit? He don't. No quitting in him. He'll keep going until the battle's won. That's how he quits. And no quit in him. Comes little David, the giants down there. The odds are impossible. But it didn't even stagger his faith. He had grown up in his youth. He was a plant that was strong and sturdy and able to go. And he gave himself to the cause because there was a purpose that was bigger than he is. This is more important. There's a time to grow up. We have a world and we tend in that world. But you can get too involved in your gadgets and your game playing. And I'm not going to condemn all of it, for I have no reason or right to. But I can say this, God needs you to grow up unto a plan that's bigger than that. With a desire bigger than that, and a reason bigger than that. And you know what it is that's bigger than that? We have some valuable things going to be entrusted to us. If it goes on, you're going to have a precious wife entrusted to you. And she may depend on your sturdiness to help her through problems. Punching buttons don't get it. And when it comes down to needing a power and a strength and an ability that's beyond you, and we run into that, don't we? And we say, Lord, we got to have help here. We need some strong plants that grew up in their youth. That's able to bear much fruit and face the battles that's ahead of us. God needs a people that haven't been given in to the crude, rude, filthy, dirty world. Pure of heart. Is that all right for a man? Of course it's right for a man. Men that have kept themselves with their integrity. That can be trusted. Not only with them, that all those that know them, trust them. You don't have to swear some big oath or sign some big thing because that person doesn't lie to you. They're grown up to it. And people can know it. I had a conversation one time with a guy I worked with. And I had this certain routine of going through hired people. And I always get a new one and I was always like, oh, Lord, help us. Here we go again. I'm going to have to win them. It's a winning thing. You have to win them. You can say things and they don't believe it and all that. And anyway, it was in the process of that. And I was talking to this young man one day. And he said, I told something that was somewhat unbelievable, but yet it was totally true. And he said, you're lying to me. And I said, I don't lie.
And he said, everybody lies. And I said, everybody does not lie. And of course, he probably says, you just done it again. But no, I didn't lie. You don't have to lie. Well, he says, yes, you do. Everybody tells a little lie this way. So he opened me up to a sermon. So I started telling him about how Jesus Christ is able to keep you, is able to give you a grace and power to live life by. You don't have to lie to nobody at no time. And I started telling him that Jesus makes a difference, brother. Then Jesus can keep you. An honest, straight person. Well, he got it. Wasn't long after that, someone said something about, said to me, said, well, I said something. He said, oh, you're lying. And he turned around and said, I'm going to tell you something. He don't lie. Thank the Lord. You can have a life with you. God wants us to be just like Jesus. The Scripture tells us that let our yeas be yea and our nays be nay. And confirm that. You don't have to sweat. Confirm that. Yea, yea. And I'll say this, if Jesus was here Himself, would you have to have any more than that? If Jesus was on trial, would you have to have Him put the hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth before you'd believe Him? Of course not. He's not going to lie to you, and we ought to be that way too. We ought to have young men that grow up like a plant in their youth and have some sturdiness in their young age to be absolutely truthful people. Steady people. People that can be counted on in the community around about them. And then, when something comes up, a warning spot, typically, or work needs to be done desperately, you got men that step up and say, just put the tool in my hand. I'll learn how to do it if I have to. But if it needs done, Lord, here am I. Help me to stand up to that, to make a difference. That's what this is talking about. Trees are fruit bearers. They're lumber bearers. They make a difference to our lives. Young men, God's calling for you. God wants somebody that can be a David when there needs to be a David. Just recently in the news, President Trump awarded the Medal of Honor to a man. I don't know if you heard that. I don't remember the details. But I do know it was during the Iraq War, I believe, and there was some soldiers was pinned down in a house or something. There was a bunch of Iraqi soldiers, whatever it was. And this man exchanged his rifle for a machine gun, single-handedly, one man, charged that house, busted through the door, and rescued his brethren in there. When they all got out of there, the other one was still in there fighting. He went and reloaded and went and busted in again and went and took care of all of them. Well, I ain't advocating shooting people. That's not what it's about. Our weapons or our warfare are not carnal. We don't fight against flesh and blood. But it still typifies somebody that grew up. Something needs to be done for the bigger than I am, for a cause. For a cause for something. And he went in there above and beyond what anything would have, and done his job, done a job. Well, he wasn't looking for an honor. He wasn't looking for a medal. He was doing something because something needed to be done, and he was the man there to do it. You know, God's calling for you young men. Listen, I said the other night, we don't have too many ministers. We ain't too crowded. Don't worry about crowding out on this. Oh, there ain't enough room for me. There's plenty room. But I'm not saying God's going to call you to that. But God wants the option for all everyone else. He needs somebody to stand up. Sometimes it's just a good, solid man in the service. Somebody that'll back up the word. Somebody that's there all the time. Solid and dependable. God needs a man
Quit you like men. Fight the battle. Oh, there was an account in the Scriptures of men. I love the stories. It just thrills me to hear of them. David's mighty men. Remember David's mighty men? Oh, they were some mighty men in there. Unbelievable. If I didn't believe the Bible was true, I wouldn't believe it was true. I mean, you take that for what it's worth. But some of these stories are pretty outstanding. The guy kills 800 Philistines or something like that in the barley field. His hand clave to the sword he held on the tooth so long and swung it so hard he couldn't let it go. But they didn't get the barley field either. There's things that's precious. You can't have, devil. You can send them all down this way. You don't get them while men's standing here. You can't have them. Then there was another one or two there. You remember the feats that they had and what they had done in battle, great men of battle, and gave their whole homage and effort to the cause. They loved their king. Oh, we got a king tonight. Our King's Jesus. And King Jesus tonight is calling for some good young men. As they say in the commercials, the Marines need a few good men. They need somebody that's going to give to the cause of it. And the Lord's calling for you young people. He's calling for all of us. But tonight the emphasis is that He wants your year's service. You want to see God, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Get out there, you'll see Him. He'll make Himself known to you. It ain't about you. You say, I can't do that, Brother Mark, because I ain't strong enough, fast enough, smart enough, good enough. You're the perfect candidate. That's just what God wants. Somebody that ain't big enough, smart enough, strong enough, fast enough. Because He wants you to say, Lord, help me. And the Lord can give you everything you need in any situation that you're in. You're going to take off on a new job, you're perfect. You're going to go someplace else, or you're going to go to school. You're perfect. You want to go and do something and go and try. You're perfect. You're a perfect candidate. That's what God wants. So an ambassador for the things of God. So Lord, help young men. It's not by the mighty. It ain't by the race is not to the swift. And the strong is not to the mighty. It's those that yield themselves to the Spirit of God and let God work in their lives that wins the battles. And the Lord's looking for a few good men. And our daughters. Oh, our daughters. You sisters are so important. For one reason, it's partly the reason why the brothers always fight so hard. Because you're precious. The daughters was going to be like cornerstones. There's something really rich about this idea that these let our sons be as plants grown up, but let our women be solid, firm, connecting. The reason for it. There's something valuable about this idea of this womanhood. This valuable place that God wants a woman to be in, and the world's trying to steal it from you. It's beautiful. It says that it's polished like a palace. It means there's a beauty to it. There's something that's beautiful to look at, to see it, to behold it. There's something that's rich about it. And it's polished. And it's the foundation of home. It's the foundation of home. Let our daughters be the foundation of the home, the cornerstone, the lockpin, the thing that holds it all together, that gives it its dimensions. That's you sisters. That's pure and wholesome and valuable to God. Let our daughters be something that's coveted to look at. We want that. That wholesomeness, that beauty of the home and family. I've seen it many, many times. We go around the country as a family. And I'm not very impressive. Unless I try to be. The Lord has helped me to give me a gift that I can say to just about anybody at any time, "Hi there, how you doing?" And get them to respond positively. And I can talk to them and get a conversation going. But I have to do that because nobody just looks at me and gets very impressed. But over and over, they look at my wife and my daughters and have some impression. Something's there with them. And it isn't, folks, listen, it's because there's a polishness about it. There's a beauty about it. There's a cleanness about it. There's a beauty of a mother and her children there. You don't have to explain this, and I do a poor job trying, but I don't have to. You know what it is when you see it. You know what it is for that mother-children bond. You know what it's like when the children are there obedient by their own will. Because they've been taught and loved and nourished. You know what it is when you see it. And that is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing for a man to be in his place and a woman to be in her place. The world hates it. They'll call me chauvinist for it. They'll call me wrong and ugly for it. But God shines on it. God made it that way. And it's beautiful. And so for the sisters, there's a beautiful, beautiful account of you that our daughters would be like the cornerstones. And like a polished palace. Smooth, beautiful. Glaring. It's got a glistening to it, a shine that the world can look at and they see the wholesomeness of it. Do you know, young people, one bad decision in your life can mar that terribly. It can mar it for all your life. God has great mercy and thank God for it. But I want to tell you that those things can be challenged for all your life by one bad, ungodly decision. But let our daughters be like cornerstones of a polished palace. Of a column that shines up and the people can look at it and say, "What is this about?" Our world today is challenging every single standard of life. Listen, I love everybody. And this isn't because I have any delight in standing around and criticizing people. But I have seen people that I said in my heart, they could be beautiful in God. Because they aren't unattractive, but they are tattooed all over themselves. Now, you take your own opinion of it, but that's one of the ugliest looking things to see some otherwise pretty woman with a tattoo down the side of her head and neck and arms and all over her and all of that stuff. And I am not doing it for Krista. I'm telling you that the world is challenging this cornerstone. In every capacity of it, the wholesomeness means nothing. The purity means nothing. The beauty of it means nothing. The linchpin of home means nothing. The nourishment of a family, of children to understand what it means to be a man or a woman, to be a godly person, to not steal and cheat and fraud people, means nothing. Folks, the old song says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it don't take long for the old talons to get deep in you and you can't shake it off anymore. And it don't take long, young people, for a bad decision to ruin the shining image that God wants to shine through your life. That's why He said, it's not that it's irredeemable. It's not that God can't do something about it in your life for your salvation. He just has to forfeit forever your witness the way it should be. Of somebody, Brother Veda, we've got probably some descendants of his. But Brother Veda McMillan, most of the older people know in here, if not the young ones. I'm talking to him one day and asking him about his experience.
I personally love Brother Vega. He was a good man. And he was telling me about getting saved. And he had been saved 60 years, he told me. Been saved 60 years. And he was telling me how his first contact with Brother Fred was and how he got saved and he had been saved faithfully. He said, I've been saved faithfully for 60 years. And I said, Brother Beta, thank you for telling me that. Because he remembered his Creator in the days of his youth, and made a decision that I'm going all the way with God. And God blessed him. All those years down, he was able to say, I'm still saved by the grace of God. 60 years, 61, whatever he lived on to be, he was able to say, through all of that, it was like a plant that was grown up in his youth. And so it is with all of our decisions in life. It'll be a challenge. And sisters, it'll be a challenge because when people look at you, you're a better example than most of the men are. You stand out better. And there's nothing more beautiful. I'm going to tell you, don't let the world tell you different. You're as pretty as they get. The beauty is shining. That is real beauty. And the world trying to steal it from you. And the Lord wants you to make a decision. I want to challenge the sisters here, just like the brothers. God needs you in His kingdom. Because there's a great contrast of a world that's chasing all the frills and frivolous things of life. And there's a real challenge to the reality of God. And when a young, beautiful young girl says, I'm serving God no matter what. Oh, that gives it credibility. That means something. It says something. And there is a lot of hurting, wounded, fella people out there that's chose the wrong thing that needs that example of something to come back to. A very familiar scripture. I want to connect with a woman's part of this. Proverbs 31:10 asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Is there enough gold to buy one? Is there enough jewels to buy one? I thank God for mine. There ain't enough of anything to buy her. It's as valuable as it gets. Precious. Makes life worth living. Makes me want to be a man. You hear what I'm saying? She makes me want to take care of her. She makes me want to, if she needs something, she makes me want to fulfill that need. We have this little thing about, I'm kind of the one that takes care of the finances, and she does her job, I do mine, I do the finances. It's kind of this little joke because around our place, there isn't mine and hers. It's ours. There isn't a Brother Marty offering, folks. It's a family deal. It's all ours. And I'll tell her it's all yours anyway. But all she's got to do is say, I don't have any, and that's enough. It's hers anyway. Why? Because I want to. It makes me want to. It makes me want to. She's above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall find no need of spoil. Isn't that beautiful? I wonder how many people in the world can say that like that. Few. I'm thankful for it tonight. Brother Doug, you thankful for that tonight? Oh, how thankful there is for a life. You young people want a life that's solid and worth something? Follow the Lord. Oh, there's no riches better. There's no riches better that you can have such confidence and trust in your family and your home. Lord, help us. Many, many, many heartaches have been from turning away from the Lord. So I want for you all, don't do it. Don't turn away from the Lord. Over and over, I can account to you over and over in my mind of my own experience at my own home congregation to other home congregations of young people that grew up in our congregations that got to a certain place and started making decisions and said, I don't need God. Now, you can't tell me they said, I want to be divorced from my husband, my family broke up. I don't believe it. They didn't say that. But they followed the natural course for it. They followed the natural course to get where they're at of a heartache and misery and many other things follow it, from suicides to alcohol addictions to drug addictions to all kind of perversions, to try to find something that was lost in a bad decision in youth. It's just true. Lord, help us. Her heart, the heart of her husband, thus safety, trust in her. So that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She raiseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings and tapestries. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he is sitting among the elders. Oh, I want to tell you. Oh, how valuable you sisters are. Oh, how valuable to the cause of God you are. And God wants to call you. Maybe there'll be a ministry there too. But there will always be womanhood. And that's the bottom line. It is never lost. God created you that way, and within that there is a beautiful column of the church that shines because you're in it. And God needs that image. That God needs that. Not the modern woman. The godly woman. That's what the Lord wants. The godly woman. The familiar scripture in 1 Timothy. Probably everybody could quote it. First Timothy 2, I think. Nine says, in like manner. Well, now let's go back to see what the manner was. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But listen, but that which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. Let her not with these outward adornings, but let her shine like a cornerstone polished. Let her be the vision of what the world sees a church and a mother as. The church is the mother. The church is the bride. The church is the woman. She's typified by your godly life of submission, purity and holiness and sobriety. That's the image the world needs to see, and God needs physical beings to show it. And He's calling for young people to give their lives to be nurtured by His Spirit, so that they could be that virtuous woman, that pillar, that valuable place. The world wants to gobble you up, and I want to tell you, there's nothing sadder to me And this thought comes over me over and over. And sometimes, for some reason, it's usually in the spring. I think it's because of graduation time. But every year, I think of the world around me, another batch of those young people. Many times I think of those 7th, 8th graders, 6th, 5th graders, and they're coming up and on up and up, and now they're innocent and they like to play with dolls, and the little boys are driving these little trucks, and then all of a sudden they're doing drugs on the street and they're selling themselves and they're getting themselves in the dirtiness and filthiness of this world has got them, and over I think again, another batch of them, and over when I see it among us and around us, I think, oh no, not again, not here. Not that way. Don't make that decision. Don't go that way. Don't lose that. It's heartache. It's suffering. It's hurt. It's harm. It won't work out for you. Find somebody that it has. It don't work. And it's not going to work for you either. And our heart goes out because we don't want it to happen. And I can look and say, I know what God wants. He wants make you beautiful. He wants something that is going to be able to be used in His kingdom as something that is beautiful and wholesome and right, worthwhile. I'll tell you what, it's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. So I'll leave this challenge tonight, and we'll close, but I'll leave this challenge to our young, to everybody, but to the young people. God needs you. God wants you for the next good spiritual battles that the future is going to hold for our communities around about, our congregations, our camp meetings. Some of us older ones are going to go ahead and go on off the scene one of these days, and it's going to be filled and left in your hands. And that's what it was. And I regret that I waited as long as I did to get saved. But I thank God for the mercy that He's shown me. You pray for me.